One more little brief thing, and then we're going to meditate together. As the mind quiets down, and there are a lot of practices to help you quiet the mind and to extricate yourself from identification with your thoughts, you have more available to you that intuitive heart, that not the emotional quality, but the it has a quality of presence and softness and the feeling of the depth of love. It's like the quality of Christ's love, that quality. It's a very interesting thing what starts to happen in your life and how you deal with it. See, most of us grew up feeling like the ego is, in a way, got built on the idea that if we do the right things, we're lovable. I mean, we just grew up in an environment of conditional love. No matter how much our parents loved us, they still had an agenda. They had to socialize us. And they would tighten up if you shit on the living room floor. It's like they just tightened up a little bit, you know. And you learned how what you didn't do to make it work. And you ended up with these feelings inside that, and you end up looking to find somebody who will feel safe for you to open your heart around. And most of the time, your heart is armored, as I said. And then somebody comes along, and there's some concatenation of stimuli, some configuration, and it releases that place in you, and you experience the quality of being back in your intuitive heart again. And you say, I am in love. And then, because you've been so starved for that, and that the other person had the key which opened your door to that place, you say, I am in love with you. The other way of saying it is the other person is a stimulus which is a releasing, which releases the releasing mechanism which allows you to be in the place of love, and you are in love. And then, because you're so addicted to this state, you want to connect. You want to possess your connection, like any addict. So where will you be Tuesday night and Friday night and for the rest of our lives? And you get jealous if the connection services anybody else, because you really want to feel that quality of being in love. Now imagine if through these practices, something starts to change so that the veil of your mind is thinner and you actually are experiencing that quality of love more. Now you walk down the street and you look at somebody and you experience that you are in love with them. The old model you have of deprivation says, I better collect this person. Okay? Because you're used to not having love. You've been so starved. So you say, let's nest. And you get feathers and twigs and drapes, and you create a nest, and you get all cuddly. Do you love me? How much do you love me? Ooh, I love your eggs. Ooh, ooh, everything. Ooh, I love, ooh, ooh, wonderful. And then you go to the store for some tofu and beer, and you're at the checkout counter, and you look into the eyes of the person at the checkout counter, and it happens again, because it's in you. But you still have the deprivation model, but you got one in the nest. Okay. So what do you do? Some of you have faced that. Ménage à trois? Very complicated. Okay. It's the beginning of tremendous economic, political, psychological, social problems. And then what are you going to do? Never look at anybody else? maybe what you're going to have to do, and what I found myself having to do, was give up my deprivation model. Give up the model that I was starved for love, and that I needed to collect my lovers. And what has happened, and I can hardly understand it yet because it's still too new to me, is that everywhere I look, I'm beginning to see the beloved. And I love people so much, I don't know what to do about it. And I have to realize there's nothing to do about it, which is very bizarre, to look at somebody and love them that much and not do anything. I mean, you would want to wave or collect a phone number or just hi or something like that. But you know, you walk into the bank to cash a check. You look at the teller, and the teller is just the perfection of God as teller. I mean, it's absolutely essence, and you just, but the minute you say, oh, Divine Mother, or you're beautiful, she presses the button. I mean, it's like, you learn there's nothing to do about it. As you stand back a little bit, you see the beauty of the manifestation, each one uniquely. Even the stinkers are essence stinker. And your personality is saying no and cut it out and you can't do this and I won't allow this. And at the other part, you're totally in love with them. And then you begin to see the beloved, the guru, whatever you want to call that, everywhere you look. You just see it all the time. There's a Kabir. Since the day when I met with my Lord, there has been no end to the sport of our love. I see with eyes open and smile and behold his beauty everywhere. I utter his name, and whatever I see, it reminds me of him. Whatever I do, it becomes his worship. Wherever I go, I move round him. All I achieve is his service. When I lie down, I lie prostrate at his feet. Whether I rise or sit down, I can never forget him, for the rhythm of his music beats in my ears. Quiet mind, open heart. Not standing anywhere. If you're burning out in the human heart, go up. But if you go up and you lose your humanity, you lost part of it. Sure, your heart's breaking, that's okay. You bear the unbearable, that's what it means to be free. It means free to embrace it all, free to push nothing away. But it's all empty. It's all play or dance or forms within forms, sufferings, life, death, all of it. The hardest thing I have to do in these lectures is to integrate the incredible depth of the pain of suffering with the nature of the cosmic giggle. Most people can't handle getting those two things together. I talked about it in Hawaii a few weeks ago, and an article came out in the paper, the headline, which I loved, it said, "Ex-drug guru says life a cosmic giggle."
Well, that's what happens to them. Oh, it's too beautiful, all of it, all of it, all of it, all of it.
And when you're not busy being attached, you then fulfill, you listen and you hear your unique way of manifesting in the earth. You hear your uniqueness. I have an 89-year-old father. My job is to help take care of him and make sure he's happy and taken care of and safe and protected.
That's my unique karma. I'm an American. I have something to do about that. I have to make sure that this representative democracy gets a fair shake and gets kept in control. I'm part of an ecosystem. I have to make a statement about nuclear proliferation and but if I do it out of fear and urgency, all I'm doing is increasing the fear, which is the root cause of the bomb in the first place. When I take care of Dad, when I protest against the bomb, when I do all the things that I do every day, meet the airplane stewardess, do all the stuff I do every day, all of it is the stuff I use to work on myself in order to increase the equanimity and to increase the compassion. It all is exercise. Your entire life is curriculum. Everything you've got right on your plate is where the stuff for your enlightenment is. It's breathtaking when you stand back and see the beauty of that design. And that includes all of it, death and sickness and dying and AIDS and all of it, all of it.